Oh, Heavenly Father, Yahweh, bless the second part of this service today, that all that are in may enjoy, during your Feast of Tabernacles, the appointed time, the Feast of Sukkot, in Leviticus 23, and let us study and cogitate over thy word, may be precious. May we get a fat serving today of spiritual food during this feast in Yahweh's name. Bless our fellowship. Praise Yah, hallelujah. We're going back to the book of Isaiah. We're way back now. In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 11, about the Feast of Tabernacles. About the end of the end times here. It's not too far away. Well, for some of us, it's going to be a lot quicker. We'll go to the grave, we'll wait, and the next second we'll open up our eyes. And if we're saved, elect, called, chosen, will be right in his eyes and ready to stand there before our Heavenly Father in the throne room and in New Jerusalem, beholding his face and ministering the precious time. Some people probably don't think that that's a very valuable thing to do, is to look forward to spiritual thing in the future and tabernacling with our Heavenly Father and his son, and all the believers. Isaiah 41:11 through, I think, 20. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and shall not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, Yahweh, thy mighty one, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Yaakov, you men of Yisrael. I will help thee, saith Yahweh, and thy Redeemer, the separated one of Yisrael. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains, and beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind scatter them. Thou shalt rejoice in Yahweh, and thou shalt esteem in the pure one of Yisrael, or make splendor of the separated one of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, Yahweh, will hear them. I, the mighty one of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places, and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and on a dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, or cypress tree, and the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of Yahweh has done this, and the separated one of Israel has created it. Produce your cause, saith Yahweh, bring forth your strong reasons, saith the king of Yaakov. Let them bring forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things. So see, we're not able to foretell the future, but Yahweh's word does. Let them show forth the former things, that they may be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. Also in Isaiah, as we gather together as sisters and brothers together, we offer unlimited, unadulterated prayers and for one another, and songs, not blemished by the world's carnal culture, the offbeat music being brought into our praise services, or the world's customs, but lifting up pure, undefiled hands here in the presence of Yahweh, as if we're here in the throne room, and we're reading these Isaiah scriptures, a rosy picture of tabernacling in the future. Let us turn back to 29, verse 18, and then read through. It's just selected passages here. I'm reading from the King James, and trying as best as I know to correct some of the Hellenized words that are questionable, such as the G-O-D, H-H-O-L-Y, a number of gods here that are of the nations. Now, according to all the information we've gathered and have documented for you and authenticated here on Yahweh, verse 18, And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and see the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek shall increase their joy in Yahweh, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the pure one of Israel. The terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off, that make a man an offender for a word. You know, these tort cases and trying to demonize you and discredit you, so that your testimony, your report of what Yahweh has in His Word, they think will not be true or will not be a given. They make a man an offender for just a word. They lay a snare for him that reproves in the gate. How many reprove in the gate these days? Ha! Nobody! Turn aside the just for a thing of naught. No. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale, but when he sees his children, the work of mine hands, in the midst of him, shall set apart my name, and set apart the pure one of Israel, Jacob, and fear the mighty one of Israel. They also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. Woe to the rebellious children, saith Yahweh, that take counsel, but not of me, that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. This is in the 30th chapter, now verse 2, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Verse 9, this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of Yahweh, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Yes, how many times have we heard, let's not hear any of that negative talk, let's only hear uplifting, positive things. Well, even in electricity we know that if you only have the positive potential, and no negative, no ground, no negative, then nothing will flow. There will be no current flow from the positive to the negative. And your machine is dead. And you'll have no power. And not to say that that sets the precedent for us spiritually, but that is an example that without the positive or without the negative in electricity, you don't have any juice coming out of that wire there. Verse 11, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the separated of Israel to cease from before us, they say. Wherefore thus saith the pure one of Israel, because you despise the word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon. Therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall. And 16, but you say no, for we will flee upon horses. And then I'm going to skip to 17, a thousand shall flee at the rebuke of one. At the rebuke of five shall you flee, until you be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, as an ensign on the hill. Because apparently now we've repented here at this point. And therefore will Yahweh wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. He will be exalted, not you. For Yahweh is the mighty one of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. The people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. You'll be very... I don't know of another word there, so I'm gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. Though Yahweh give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thy ears shall hear a word behind them, saying, this is the way, walk you in it. And when you turn to the right hand, when you turn to the left, you shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of silver. And then it names all these things that were used in false worship. 26. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days, and the day that Yahweh binds up the breach of the people and heals the stroke of their wound. Behold, the name of Yahweh comes from afar, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue is a devouring fire. Not the sweet Jesus in the manger and the baby in the cradle that they bring out every 25th of the 12th month at their winter solstice celebration and say, oh, how we love Jesus. Now, this is the one who is coming with fire, and this is the one and the same one, the one who created it all, created the world, Colossians 1, Hebrews 1. John chapter 1, he is the Word. So verse 28, his breath as an overflowing stream shall reach to the midst of the neck to sift the nations with a sieve of vanity, and there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. He shall have a song as in the, or no, you shall have a song as in the night, when a pure solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart as when one goes with a pipe to come unto Yahweh, into the mountain of Yahweh, rather, to the mighty one of Israel. And Yahweh shall cause his grand voice to be heard, and shall show the lightning down of his arm with the indignation of his anger. And we've read this on the other day. And verse 1 and 3 in the next chapter is talking about us, about our nation there, that we go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots. And that's talking to the northern 10 tribes, mainly Israel and mainly the rebellious ones that, you know, he says, Ephraim, leave Ephraim alone. He's a rebellious, stubborn jackass. Leave him alone. And in verse 32 of chapter 32, excuse me, in verse 11 of chapter 32, tremble, you women that are at ease, be troubled, you careless ones. Strip, make you bare, and gird sackcloth upon your loins. That's not where I wanted to go. Verse 5, the vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the rude said to be bountiful. For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity to practice hypocrisy and to utter error against Yahweh to make empty. The soul of the hungry, he'll cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. The instruments of curl or rude are evil. He devises wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaks right. But the liberal devises liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. And the palaces will be forsaken, forts and towers, in verse 15, until the Spirit be poured upon from on high on us, and the wilderness is a fruitful field, the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Verse 16, then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and the righteous remain in the fruitful field, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness shall be quietness and assurance forever. So that's the first mission. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. When it shall hail, coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place. But blessed are you that sow beside all waters. Send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. Isaiah 33:2, O Yahweh, be gracious unto us. We have waited for thee. Be thou their arm every morning, our salvation in the time of trouble. Yahweh is exalted in verse 5, for he dwelleth on high. He has filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. And the wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. The fear of Yahweh is his treasure. And is the bride preparing her robes and asking the Spirit of Yahweh to make her robes white as snow and no more red as scarlet, and that she is walking righteously? Verse 15, he that walketh righteously and speak uprightly, he that despises the gain of oppressions, that shakes his hands from holding of bribes, that stops his ears from hearing of blood and the shedding of blood, and shutting his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the mole munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given to him. His water shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is far off. Verse 21, but there the splendid Yahweh will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall be no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ship pass by. For Yahweh is our judge, Yahweh is our lawgiver, Yahweh is our king. He will save us. Also see James chapter 4. The tacklings are loose, they could not well strengthen their masts, they could not spread the sail. Then is the prey of a great spoil divided, the lame take the prey, and the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. And then we're moving towards chapter 5, 35 slowly. In the day of Yahweh's vengeance, in chapter 34, verse 8, it is the day of Yahweh's vengeance, Isaiah 34, 8, and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion, and the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof brimstone, and the land shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night nor day. The smoke shall go up forever from generation to generation. It shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. The cormorant and the bittern shall possess it, and the owl and the raven shall dwell in it. And he shall stretch out upon it the line of confusion and the stones of emptiness. In 15, the great owl make her nest and lay and hatch and gather under her shadow. There shall the vultures also be gathered, every one with her mate. Seek you out of the book of Yahweh and read. Yes, study to show ourselves approved, a workman not needing not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, showing Yahweh that we're faithful to not only just read certain portions of Scripture that pertain to us, but to study them. Read. No one of these shall fail. Or none of these prophecies shall fail. None of these promises of destruction shall fail. None of these promises of great blessing shall fail. So we'll continue. I was telling you that from my understanding. And it says, read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate, for my mouth it has commanded, and his spirit has gathered them. He has cast the lot for them. And this was way before gambling became a pastime. They are, I can't think of the word, misusing anyway, this gift of casting the lot. It was a spiritual concept that they turn into all this gambling and lotteries. He has cast the lot for them, and I wouldn't do it. I think it was sin. Cast the lot for them, and his hand has divided it unto them by line. They shall possess forever to ever possess it from generation to generation. Shall they dwell therein? The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy, singing, the esteem of Lebanon shall be given into it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon, or Sharon, well, actually it's Sharon. They shall see the esteem of Yahweh and the excellency of Yahweh, strengthen the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, Yahweh will come with vengeance, even Yahweh with a recompense. He will come and save thee. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Those spiritually deaf ears and spiritually blind eyes that we have been blinded by, and we could only see sun worship up until now. Now we're open up to Yahweh's word that it is all true and pertinent for today. There's no dispensational theology or incrementalism that we're supposed to slowly learn how to obey Yahweh, because as if we are not able to obey all in one big step, he has to give us in tiny little steps. Well, I think I've never had that experience that I have to do it in tiny steps. I did it all at once. Whenever I studied, that was, or somebody taught me, I didn't need to do it with tiny little baby steps to find out how to keep the Sabbath, give up unclean meats, give up pagan Christmas, Easter, New Year's, Halloween, and Easter, if I didn't say that. No, and how did I get into that? I don't know, but, being blind and deaf, so now we'll be able to hear Yahweh's word. Verse 6, then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land will become springs of water, in the habitation of dragons, or in the habitation of jackals, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes instead of these dragons out there, or jackals. And a highway shall be there. No, not a two-lane blacktop, perhaps a street of gold, but a highway shall be there, and a way, it shall be called a way of Kodesh. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring man, though fool, shall not err therein. And I couldn't really harmonize this verse with some others about the lion here, but you have to understand it in its own context here, I guess. But it says no lion shall be there, so any dangerous lion will not be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of Yahweh shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. If we could look at 51:11 for a second, about being righteous, and continuing on with that same theme of the redeemed of Yahweh shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. We think of these future things in the Feast of Tabernacles, Jeremiah chapter 6:16. But we also look at the warnings that we've got to be prepared to not stumble into some places. And I'm reading all these scriptures today in our assembly. Sometimes they have what's a Jewish custom called Midrash, where everybody just sits around, and some have studied before they came to the assembly. And so they're able to, each person able to bring out some things that they discovered about the assigned passage that may or may not apply for us for that day, but they've studied it. Others just come in and rattle off from their computer what they can look up quickly or off at the top of their head. And I don't see any example in Scripture of any anywhere where the Messiah or the apostles shared with others and that they were all able to take a part in it. It sure causes us all to want to be active during the readings here, and that we could all take part in it. But we're going to excuse me, I meant to go to Jeremiah 6:16. What's the next one? I think I was reading something from Isaiah, and instead it was Jeremiah. I'm not quite sure of that, but if it came out okay, then we'll leave that alone. And it says in warning us and exhorting us here, so that we could walk in the old paths, the old non-maintained, because Christianity abandoned the ancient paths, the forgotten, covered up old obscure paths of Yahweh. Well, let's bring out that word again and rediscover it, just as the children did in the book of Nehemiah when they discovered the law about the feast days, about Passover and Shavuot and tabernacles and atonement and trumpets and new moons and Sabbath, all the feasts there. And what a time to be an excuse to get the whole family together. The dad or mom, they can't go running off to the football game. Now their assignment is to tend to the family and tend to the flock, tend to the sheep there at the assembly. Because we've only healed slightly the daughter of Yahweh's people. We hire these hireling preachers that don't have the right priority in mind, even though they'd be able to deliver an eloquent message, and they're well paid. And they say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. But in verse 16, Jeremiah says, thus saith Yahweh, stand you in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the great way? And walk therein. You shall find rest for your souls. And they said, okay, yeah, that sounds... No, they said, we will not walk therein. And that's the reaction you get from Christianity Today, the magazine. Yeah, I don't know about some of those people who put that... Amos chapter 5, but it just seems like there's a continual backsliding and lukewarmness and walking even farther away from the word of Yahweh than there was a day before or a year before. Look back many years. So Amos chapter 5, woe to us. That's verse 18. Woe unto you that desire the day of Yahweh, looking for the end times, the second coming, that desire the rapture, that want to get away in the secret rapture and escape all of our past, maybe our, that we're ashamed of our past, so we figure that maybe we're just going to get raptured right out of the world and we won't have to worry about, be accountable for anything we've done to our family or friends or fellow employees or schoolmates or worse yet, the truth of Yahweh. Woe unto you that desire the day of Yahweh. To what end is it for you? The day of Yahweh to you is darkness and not light. And in chapter 6, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. Well, it's okay to be at ease for 8 days here in Zion and keep the feast because he commanded us to do that. And he also commands us to study and press on and to get equipped to prepare our garments as a bride waiting for the bridegroom to return at some hour we don't know. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the mountains to whom the house of Israel came. Let's go to 3. You that put far away the evil day and cause the seed of violence to come near, you that lie upon beds of ivory and stretch yourselves upon their couches. Things are certainly getting opulent here lately. And you that eat the lambs out of the flock, the best ones of all, and the calves out of the midst of the stall. Yes, they're having a veal, but I don't think that that's scriptural. They chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music, like David. They drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Therefore now shall they go into captive, into the diaspora, the scattering. They shall go captive with the first that go captive, and the banquet of them that stretch themselves shall be removed. Yes, we're going to have another scattering here soon. And it's going to get the saints off the fence, push them off the fence. They're a bunch of fence-sitting, backslidden, lukewarm, Laodicean believers or unbelievers. Yahweh has sworn by himself, saith Yahweh, the mighty one of hosts, I abhor the excellency of Jacob and hate his palaces. He abhors the excellency of Jacob, these children of Israel, and he hates our palaces. Therefore will I deliver up the city with all that is therein, and it shall come to pass, if there remain 10 men in one house, that they shall die. And if a man's uncle shall take him up, and he that burneth him, to bring out the bones out of the house, and shall say unto him that is by the sides of the house, Is there yet any with thee? And he shall say, No. Then he shall say, Hold thy tongue, for we may not make mention of the name of Yahweh. Even in some sects of Jewish, of walking in Jewry, that they use the term Hashem, the name of something, but they won't even mention the name of Yahweh. They're commanded here not to do it. They're commanding themselves. But we are publishing the name of Yahweh. So woe unto those who desire the day of Yahweh. Oh, those apostates, those giving themselves titles, the people of unclean lips. Isaiah, back to, yes, let's go back to Isaiah for some more citations. And then move up to higher ground as we get strengthened and taught and disciplined and increased in this, the Word. Yahusha the Son is the Word. So it's Isaiah 6:5. Woe. Then I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. Isaiah said this himself, that he himself was a man of unclean lips. He felt so unworthy, because only Yahweh can sweep away our record of debt, record of indebtedness that was against us, our transgressions of the Torah. I am a man of unclean lips, and I will dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, Yahweh of hosts. Then one of these seraphims flew unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it on my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Now don't go do this literally and physically. Don't go taking any coals and doing stuff. This is all symbolic. Although we're against the principle of allegorism, that people allegorize everything in the Scripture, and that there's no absolutes. It's all, let's go to chapter 16. It's all relativism. It's all just what other people and what you and I think it is to set up a standard, which is, it's no standard at all. And we're talking about the Moab, the judgment. So apparently this can apply to some of us, even in this day, thousands of years later, this was written years ago. It applies to us still. Chapter 16, verse 4 through 7a. Let my outcasts dwell with thee, Moab. Be thou a covert to them from the face of the spoiler. For the extortioner is at an end. The spoiler ceases. The oppressors are consumed out of the land. There goes the enemy. And in mercy shall the throne be established. He shall sit upon it in truth in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking righteousness and hasting righteousness. We have heard of the pride of Moab. We have heard about the self-esteem. The pride of Moab, he is very proud, even of his haughtiness and his pride and his wrath. But his lies shall not be so. Therefore shall Moab howl. For Moab everyone shall howl. The next reference, in Isaiah 13, on Babylon. And this is where our world is today. I think most of our government in the United States of America, so we're going back to chapter 13, is our government is going to be enjoying the results of their national sins, the abortion, the sodomy, the idolatry, the Sabbath breaking, and most of all, actually first but not, and last but not least, divorce and remarriage, that throughout the scripture we're admonished never to do that. There's only one situation, and it's found in the scripture, in the Torah, and we have that on the website. Actually, I don't want to even tell people that, because they might go there to find an excuse and make them. Well, I don't know what they're going to do, but anyway, it's got to be in the teaching. Chapter 13 now, 19 through 22. No, I think it should be set up properly and not just rattle off some easy way to get out of it. And I told one brother about the doctrine of divorce and remarriage, and he says, well, okay, I understand what you're saying. I think we're okay. Yeah. Well, it can't be just that easy. We have to seriously consider each and every situation is different. We consider our own situation very gravely, because it could mean the difference between destruction forever or being saved to reign and rule as the bride of Messiah, rule with him forever and ever. And what a contrast, and that day is coming soon. Some of us are going to die sooner than others before Yahweh comes back. Verse 19, 13:19, and still in Isaiah again, judgment on Babylon. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, or I can use that word, the glory of kingdoms. It applies to them. The beauty of the Chaldees' excellency shall be as when Yahweh overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it dwell in from generation to generation, neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there, but wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. And the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant places. Her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. Oh, yes, I can see the factory down the street with dragons and all these creatures in there howling and screeching, and nobody punching their time card, doing their 24/7. Isaiah, this study about Tyre, now, or T-Y-R-E, Chapter 23:15. So far, about 38 minutes or less into this podcast. And it shall come to pass in that day that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years, according to the days of one king. After the end of 70 years shall Tyre sing as a harlot. Take a harp, go about the city, thou harlot that has been forgotten, make sweet melody. Sing many songs, that thou mayest be remembered, and it shall come to pass after the end of 70 years that Yahweh will visit Tyre, and she shall turn to her hire, and shall commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth, and her merchandise and her hire shall be separate to Yahweh. It shall not be treasured nor laid upon, for her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before Yahweh to eat sufficiently, and for durable clothing. And what else for Babylon? well, Babylon and Tyre in Isaiah chapter 24, verse 3 to 6, that is, the land shall be utterly emptied and be utterly spoiled, for Yahweh has spoken this word. Yes, he makes his earth empty, and he has to burn it with unquenchable fire. That's 2 Peter. For Yahweh has spoken this word, the earth mourneth and fadeth away, just like 2 Peter, and the world languishes and fades away. The haughty people of the earth languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof. Yeah, they love that culture, that worldly culture there. How we love that boom boom, that music that they bring into the set apart place. No, we hate that music. The earth is defiled because they have transgressed the laws. They have changed the ordinances, or they have changed the moeds, the appointed times. They have broken the everlasting covenant. And another thing about the appointed times is that each day is to start at evening, but they even changed that one to hours later, in the middle of the night, at midnight, when they start their new day in the Babylonian culture. And sometimes when we in the work in their business world, we have to compensate and go along with that. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth. They that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned and few men left. The new wine mourns, the vine languishes, and all the merry-hearted do sigh. The mirth of tabrets ceases. The noise of them that rejoice ends, and the joy of the harp cease. They shall not drink wine with a song. Strong drink shall be bitter to them. And there is the crying for wine in the streets is two verses later, but then we need to pick up in chapter 26 on an up note here. 26, 1 to 5, and yeah, it's not right to keep your job if you have to work in the Sabbath day. They say, well, how will my children? They might starve to death if I move out of this palatial home. And well, there may be a situation where the children would starve to death. Then I would make a different judgment about that. But most cases, people should not be working after sunset going into the Sabbath day. And I'd say 99 and 9 tenths of the cases. There's probably someone in India right now who might have to bend that rule. And it's like taking an oxen out of the ditch, as the Messiah told us there in the book of probably the book of Matthew. But don't work after the Sabbath starts, and wait till it finishes to go buy gas or anything. Don't. There's always a way to get around these things that we call an oxen in the ditch, and you're endangering your soul, your salvation, by going out and working on the Sabbath day. Yeah, Jews do it. Some Adventists do it. Some Messianics do it. Don't be like them. Perhaps we'll never see them in the kingdom of Yahweh. But I hope we will. And we'll pray for them. I keep doing it. And nothing changes. But we're supposed to keep praying. So Isaiah 26, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Yehuda. We have a strong city. Salvation will Yahweh appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open you the gates, that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Because he trusteth in thee. And that should be up on your wall somewhere, or refrigerator. Trust you in Yahweh forever. For in Yahuwah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city. He lays it low. He lays it low, even to the ground. He brings it even to the dust. And then in chapter 30, verse 17, noting verse 19, chapter 30 of Yeshayahu, in the older writings, and it starts out there in verse 1, woe to the rebellious children, who cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, that we read earlier today. But I wanted to refresh you on that. Verse 17 now. And what are we going to do when this feast is over? Oh boy, I don't know. I hope that things can stay as wonderful as they are right now. We don't have that many responsibilities right now, other than to eat, drink, and sleep, and have this convocation study, which it's a nice distraction from the world. But let's make it not a distraction, but our main focus, our main priority of studying the Word, and not neglect the other things that we need to do to keep our household going. And we read on another day, we read this, Isaiah 30, about the last days, verse 17, 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, at the rebuke of five shall you flee, till you be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, and as an ensign on a hill. And therefore will Yahweh wait, that he may be gracious, whatever, unto thee. Wherefore, therefore, will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you, for Yahweh is a mighty one of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. For the people shall tabernacle in Zion at Jerusalem, Yerushalayim. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee, and though Yahweh give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more. And then in verse 26 and 7, behold, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun. And 27, behold, the name of Yahweh comes from far, burning with his anger. The burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation. His tongue is a devouring fire. And his breath, as an overflowing stream, shall reach to the midst of the neck, to sift the nations with a sieve of vanity. There shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. Okay, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that this is the right one, it was Thessalonians, it wasn't Timothy, I don't think it was. If we believe that Messiah died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Messiah. Well, I thought it was those that were up in heaven dancing around the throne room with loincloths on. No, those who have died in Messiah will be asleep, here it says here. Protestant accuses us of inventing a doctrine called soul sleep. Well, I believe in soul sleep and spirit sleep as well, the body and the soul. Which sleep in Messiah will Yahweh bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of Yahweh, that we which are alive and remain, those who are not asleep here, but which are alive and remain at the coming of Yahweh, shall not prevent them which are asleep, or will not get in there ahead of them to go on to eternity, because those who are asleep go first. And then which we, it says there, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of Yahweh. But first those who are asleep, the believers. For Yahweh himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, Melachim, let's say, and with the trump of Yahweh, and the dead of Messiah shall rise first. See, the dead rise first. We don't go first. We don't get there. They're not there before us. Nobody's there but the Father and the Son and those a few that he appointed. Not even David, King David. If you see Acts chapter 2, even David is not there getting things ready for us. And if anybody should be, he would be there. And it said that Messiah is the firstborn of the dead. So apparently not even Abraham was there. And the dead of Messiah shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet Yahweh in the air. Or meet Yahuwah in the air, so shall we ever be with Yahweh. What should we do? Wherefore comfort one another with these words. For it says in Philippians chapter 1, for to me to live is Messiah, and to die is gain. Some would of course interpret that as to be dead is to be with Messiah here in Philippians. But Paul said, for to me to live is Messiah, and to die is gain. Well, he's going to gain by being in eternal life. Well, while I'm there, if anybody else is looking, in Philippians chapter 2, 13, it is Yah which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But he's the one who's working these... in verse 12, brethren and beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is Yahweh which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. a lot more in there to study, but those are not the priorities or subjects for today, but we'll go on next time. This is Stefan Yah at YahvahYahweh.name. Stefan Yah at YahvahYahweh.name is my email. And I wish that some more of you would look at the file about health on the website there. Check that out. I'm going to be trying to, by the end of the Roman year of 2013, trying to change that, because we're being told, those of us who are sick or have cancer, that we need to eat what we're craving. Have you ever craved something? Maybe it's it wasn't even a clean animal. It might have been something with a lot of grease in it. It might have been whiskey. Maybe I'd like to sit and drink a gallon of whiskey or something someday. I might crave a lot of things, a whole big box of candy or something, but I'm going to put in there about the great poison. And I know it's already been written in various places, in books and DVDs and on the internet up there, and cyberspace and so on, but I would like to just put in my own experiences, my own wife who passed away, who was told by her relatives and friends, her close friends, that if she craved something, she should eat it. So she had cancer and overcame it by various methods. One of them, unfortunately, was chemotherapy, and that almost killed her. So I stepped in and said that after six sessions, that was it, because they said, oh, no, she's fine. I said, no, she's going to die. And I could tell the difference that she was. No, all her instruments look good. But I said, no, knock it off, no more of that. And they stopped, and she was fine. But then she got into eating candy and then sugar, and within hours she stopped talking, and within 1 month she died. And she hasn't spoken since that time. She had the bag or two of sugar in her bed there, and I miss her very much. It's been 2 years ago, and I've thought about it and learned a lot more. And I know that we shouldn't be listening to everything that the medical profession tells us. Don't distrust the medical profession for everything. But anyway, let's get into the study of good health. A lot of churches are doing that, and synagogues and Messianic assemblies are starting to study more about health and to their better. And another thing I don't think that they mention too much is that we should only eat a certain amount of food that will take care of our sustenance for the day, our energy for the day, not overeat that. Otherwise, it's a sin for one thing, but on the other, it could even cause our demise by overeating, and we wind up going to the grave prematurely. And that's a grave matter to think there, because we're leaving behind our relatives who love us very much, and it's putting a strain on them by having to go through these health issues. And so getting plenty of exercise, fresh air, leaving the window open a crack at night if you can to breathe some fresh air down in beautiful downtown LA. And, well, how are you going to get fresh air some way, I guess, there? The sunshine, drinking 2 liters of water a day, by not holding grudges, by praying for others, by helping others that are, within your family or a priority, your assembly. You can help your enemy, but first of all, you better take care of your own and in your assembly and your family if they're observing Yahweh's truth. And so I got into health quite a bit here at the end of this program, but it's been a good hour. So I think it was a profitable hour to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For those who have always obeyed, work out your own salvation, Paul says. For Yahweh works to you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, he's going to appear, and some for eternal judgment, for damnation, but for others, eternal life. And I'm still curious about that Timothy there. Oh, yeah. Paul also says in Timothy that bodily exercise profits some. So we're certainly supposed to do that. But, I'll dig that up some other day. I can't find it. But, let me wind up then by going to 2 Peter. Okay? But, if you haven't read these things, or not for a long time, better refresh it and don't just read it. Study it. Study to show yourself approved. Don't just read stuff and rattle it off and then it's gone in the wind. Nobody remembers. 2 Peter 3, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that a day with Yahweh is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Yahweh is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of Yahweh, we talked about that in Isaiah, the day of Yahweh will come as a thief in the night. And that's either a loud thief or not as loud one, a thief in the night, in which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. So there's no secret rapture here. And the earth, well, some say there's a mid and post and all that, but the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all separate pure conversation and goodliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of Yahweh? So how many are hasting? I know I've said dates before. I said Yahweh is going to come back in 1984 when I read the late great Planet Earth book. And of course Hal Lindsey was wrong about 1984, but still I was hasting the coming of the day of Yahweh. So was Harold Camping. So were all these people who tried to predict the end times, and they were off by so many years, but they were close. All the apostles say these were the last days we're in, the end of the end days. So they were just hasting the coming of the day of Yahweh. They had the wrong dates. Where in the heavens? And he says, you won't know the day or the hour, but you will know the seasons. If you see the chapter 1 of Acts, the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Whereof, beloved, seeing you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace without spot. You know, just going down to the video arcade and down to the rock and roll concert, but without spot. No rock and roll concerts for me, thank you, and no arcades, no stupid games. There's some good games, but no stupid ones. Without spot, blameless, and account that the long suffering of Yahweh is salvation. That's in 2 Peter chapter 3. It's sure good that we could all get together here and read through these scriptures in the Word. And we long to pray for one another. Hope you pray for me. I need it. And I'm praying for those of you that I know. And for my friend in South Africa. Let me see if I can... not off the top of my head. I guess it won't come to me again. DeWaldo Yah. That's it. Is that right? So thank you, brother, for encouraging me. Because I'm going to need it. Almost as bad or more than you. And thanks for joining us. Shalom to you for now.